This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. I'm super duper excited about the show. I always say that. I know I am always excited about the show, but this is one of my favorites. One of my favorite people, so versatile, so talented, and now the author of the new book, Dream On, Now Deliver, The No-Nonsense Guide to Achieving Success in the Entertainment Industry. Of course, we're talking about Patricia Kira. And you know Patricia. You've seen her out there. She has been working in the entertainment industry for 30 years, she says. She must have been very, very young when that happened. But 30 years in the industry as an actress, model, spokesperson, television personality. She's an author. She is an animal lover, an advocate. She does it all. And so we're going to talk to Patricia a little bit about the industry, talk to her about her latest book, Dream On, Now Deliver, and get some insights, some tips for anybody who's wanting to know more about the entertainment industry and how to get involved in the do's and the don'ts from one of the best out there. And then we'll pick her brain a little bit about writing. What was it like to write the book and how did that go? And I'm sure she done and dusted it in about 2 days, so it worked out just fine. But we're going to pick her brain about that as well. So it's going to be a fun, fun, exciting show. Everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is entertainment expert. She's an actress, model, spokesperson, and now the author of the new book, Dream On, Now Deliver, The No-Nonsense Guide to Achieving Success in the Entertainment Industry. Patricia Kira, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Oh, we're excited. I mean, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I was tickled. I was happy when you said you'd come on the show. So I was excited about that. And of course, I'm excited about the book, too, and
Thank you. The message
and this delivery and everything. Tell us a little bit about Dream On, Now Deliver.
It is a book that I wish I had when I started out in the business when I was 15, 16 years old. I started out in Chicago, didn't know anybody in the business, didn't know anything. I pulled out the yellow pages and that was my start of trying to figure it out. So I know how tough it was for me. I'm hoping this book will help the newbies coming into the entertainment industry and helping them navigate and figuring out how to get an agent, how to audition and for them to actually see if this is right for them. It's not for everybody. Once you start learning the ins and outs, not everybody is destined to be in the entertainment industry.
Yeah. And I believe that my thought pattern on it also is you have an idea of what you want to do. And even if you're successful, it may not turn out to be the thing that you end up doing.
Absolutely. I mean, I started out with modeling and I learned so much along the way that then I started getting into TV hosting and acting, and then I ended up pitching shows, and then I ended up managing people all while still doing everything else. But I started learning about all these other avenues within the entertainment industry that I had no idea about. So it was really cool to start figuring out like what I really wanted to do and what else I could do. So there's a lot out there. It's just a matter of, you know, figuring it out along the way.
Absolutely. And I would imagine that in the early days, especially when you're trying to get started, part of it's you're wanting to try different things, but also you're just trying to live. You know, there's more to life than ramen noodles. If they had ramen noodles back in the Yellow Page days, I don't know.
I think they did, actually. They did. Yes. I remember I had them back then.
There you go. Well, they never expire, so it works out all right.
True.
But when you're taking these opportunities, how do you decide, you know, is it a matter of, I want to stick to a path and a goal that I want to accomplish, say I want to be an actor, or is it more of, I'm going to take opportunities as they come up to get a little sample and a little flavor of things, or maybe have to take these opportunities? How do you go about sorting through that? And then is there a benefit to having a broad scope on everything that you can do?
I think for me, I loved knowing and learning all the different things and knowing there were other possibilities. I just wanted to be in the entertainment industry, didn't know necessarily what that meant. I knew I would see girls, you know, in magazines like Christy Turlington and Kathy Ireland. But the more I learned, the more I wanted to immerse myself even more. And I remember people telling me you can only do one thing. They're like, if you're going to be a model, be a model. If you're going to be an actor or whatever it is. But I was like, well, why do I have to choose one? Why can't I do it all? To me, it's all entertainment based and there's no reason why you can't do it all. Now I think it's more acceptable. Now you see people like Jennifer Lopez, Reese Witherspoon, they do more than just acting. They're businesswomen. And that's what I talk about in the book. It's a business. A lot of people think it's glitz and glamour and there's part of that along the way, but it is a business. And if you want longevity in the business, you have to treat it like a business. So I talk a lot about that.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting with in the entertainment industry. You hit it right on the head. And the fact that I look back over the years and it was more of, if you're a model, you're a model. Don't try to act. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're an actor, okay, then act. Don't try to cut an album.
Right. Yeah. No, I love it. Hey, we're talking yellow pages and albums. I love
that's
it.
That's right. Right. Throwback next thing. That's right. And I think you did one of these, didn't you do one of these Time Life?
Yes, with Donny Osmond.
Donny Osmond. Life,
Pop Goes the 70s Music.
There you go. I knew it. Come a full circle again. I love it. I love it. But yeah, I think that in the early days, you're right. It was, you pretty much were, whether it was right or wrong, got pigeonholed into a certain area. And that's where they sort of wanted you to focus. And that's all you could get out of. And then nowadays, it's sort of, I look at it as like baseball. And, you know, baseball used to be played one position. That's what you did. Now, you know, the more you make more money by playing, being a utility player, playing all over the place.
Yeah.
And I think you were one of those, the leading edge on doing that, because you know, when I look through, I got my little cheat sheet here, you know, you've done the Deal or No Deal, you know,
yeah,
case number model number nine, yeah, and then you got Access Hollywood, you've done the movie thing, the Donny Osmond thing, we talked about the modeling, you've been spokesperson for, you know, numerous big companies, AT&T, Unilever, Johnson & Johnson, and so I really look at you as someone who is very diverse, willing to try these things, do them all extremely well. And now with the book, Dream On, Now Deliver, you're sharing that knowledge with those who want to follow in your footsteps.
And the book is something it was just a natural thing for me growing up as I was learning the business that I would always help somebody else because I knew how tough it was for me. So I wanted to make it a little easier for others around me. They were trying to figure their stuff out in the agency world and whatever it was in the entertainment. So as soon as I would have information, I would help somebody else. And then being on Deal or No Deal, I had more people coming to me asking those questions. And so over time, I started writing things and somebody planted the seed. You should write a book. I'm like, but I'm not a writer. I'm a talker. But eventually, the timing was right. And it shifted. And I now is the time. And I had all my notes. I'm like, I've got to get this out there. I've got to do it. It's been on my mind for so many years. It's time to stop talking about it and get that book out there and help those who are trying to figure it out. It's not easy. So
yeah. And when you talk about that, you know, the book is in print. Now you, since you're a talker, you know, you like talking to people and do things. Now you can do the audio book. So
I'm about to.
There you go. That's what I like. That's what I do. So yeah. And then of course the ebooks, that's a perfect way. I glanced down at the book here. One of the things that caught, you know, as I was reading through it, one of the paragraphs of that you wrote in the script in the very early days, I'm going to read this real quick. Cause it really hit me just the right way. It says, everyone needs some supporting people in their lives to cheer loudly through the successes and the failures. So if you're still looking for those people, let this book and my words be among the loudest cheerleaders.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
Oh, I mean, it was perfect. It was perfect because, you know, a lot of times we read books about how to teach and learn from these things. And the books I write are full of stories, but they're also how to teach you how to work with your, you know, dogs and cats and animals, things like this. And I try to make it relatable and share the stories behind it. But for you to come out and not just put out a book that says, hey, learn from me. I've been doing this for 30 years. Follow these steps and this may help you out. It was more than that. It was more of, hey, I'm writing this book because I want you to succeed. And I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader. And that hit home with me because you know your industry better than I do. It's, yes, there are a lot of networking. There's a lot of friends, a lot of things you develop, good people in the industry. But it's also pretty cutthroat.
It is.
You know, and not always people want to share their ideas or their successes or even their agents. I even learned that in the literary area, you know, trying to publish a book when looking for a new agent. I would reach out to people I thought were my friends. And they're like, you know, they didn't want to share their agent information because the competition, even though we were still friends and colleagues and we did events, speaking events and stuff like this together. So I imagine your industry, it's kind of finding that balance of good people that you can count on, that will always be in your corner and that always cheerlead you, but also trying to avoid those that perhaps are not in your cheerleading camp.
And it really bums me out to hear that because I think there's enough for everybody. There's enough work for everybody. And for me, I have friends that were in competition, but I look at it like, I hope you get it. If I don't get it, I hope you get it. And it goes vice versa. And I'm always very open and willing to help my friends. Again, it's always been part of me. And I don't understand people that don't have that in them. Again, I think there's something for everybody. And it is hard. I think having a support system definitely helps. And not everybody understands it. You might have people that support you, but don't understand the entertainment business because they may not be in it. So that's where you have to rely on yourself too. You have to really be that go-getter, have that determination. If it's something you really want, you have to have those continuous conversations with yourself on motivating you to keep going because you're going to deal with rejection on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes not just once a day, many times a day. But you have to push through those moments and be your own cheerleader. And, you know, it's great if you have those people around you, but if you don't, be your own cheerleader and just power through and you figure it out.
Yeah. And they've got you in their camp. So you always
Absolutely.
Be their cheerleader.
Always. That's why we're doing this. That's why, you know, the book and having this conversation. For me, I actually, right before I started talking to you, I met somebody who's doing a college project. It was a friend of a friend. And we sat for an hour and had a Zoom call talking about the entertainment business. And he really wants to be an actor. And I was so excited for him because he was telling me his hopes and dreams and what he's doing to make that happen. Just talking to him, I was so excited for him. I could see that I could see him doing well. And I actually even said to him, I'm like, listen, I know some agencies in your area. If you're really serious about doing this and you're doing the work, I'll help you and give you some names and maybe it'll connect you. And then you take it from there. It's up to you. I can give you so much, but then you've got to take it, you know, the rest of the way. But I love seeing those moments for people and having them succeed.
Yeah. And your willingness to help push them in the right direction or make the right contacts. And one of the things you talked about in one of the chapters of the book is networking. Networking, mm-hmm. networking, networking. And I've learned that through the years, no matter what your profession is, but definitely in the entertainment industry, it's getting to know as many people in different facets as you can, because you never know when you need that one person to help you mm-hmm. with a situation or at least give you guidance or suggestions. Tell us a little bit about how networking came about, like in the early days, you know, when you're first starting and don't really know anybody, compared to today. I mean, how do you develop that great network, that people that are here for the moment that can help you out, and then people that are there for the long haul that can support you and help you out?
I have to say, I learned more about networking when I moved to LA because it is more common. When I lived in New York, it was a different animal. You had your agents, you go to your auditions. I didn't have to network as much, maybe network between, you know, when you're on the job and you're talking to the clients and network could mean just being kind, being professional, and they will remember you for the next job. And you may get it, you may not, but it's having those conversations with people where people remember you, and vice versa. There may be things that, you know, I could be helpful to you or you can be helpful to me. It goes both ways. But I've noticed as the years went on, I would see more and more in how networking helped and just getting to know different people in different genres. You never know how it's going to connect. And it may not show itself immediately. It may show itself down the line. It could be a month from now, it could be 2 years from now, it could be 10 years from now. But those moments count. I can't tell you how many times that has happened to me, and it has helped me in my career, having those networking moments and building the relationships. That's what, to me, networking is building the relationships. Absolutely.
Right. You know, I know that's difficult for some, you know, a lot of times, you know, from an outsider looking in, you think if someone's going to be a host of a show or an actor or something of this sort, then they've got to be an extrovert. You know, they've got to be out there and really willing to meet people. But in reality, I would say a majority of them are not. They are when they have to perform, but otherwise they're probably quiet, subdued, and a little bit more of an introvert.
I've seen that many a times. You'd be surprised. I revert back and forth over time. Sometimes I'm more of an introvert, but mostly more of an extrovert. I think it's probably like, look at the Greek in me. We're definitely extroverts and very lively and very talkative. But you'd be surprised how many people in the entertainment business are introverts. And I think it's hard because once people get to a certain level, more people are coming at them. And I think they become even more introverted because they have so many people coming at them from all different directions. And then you're trying to figure out, okay, who are my real people? Who are the people that want me to do well, be well, and who are the ones that are just trying to ride my coattails? So it's that, trying to navigate that part of it too, is such an interesting process. And yeah, you got to use your gut instincts on a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the book, you also, one of the tidbits I picked up was the small jobs. There are no such thing as a small job, especially in those early days. And I mentioned early on, you know, it's more than just, you know, you want to eat a decent meal and not just ramen noodles, but it's more of the fact that really to get your foot in the door, mm-hmm. and to start figuring out what's out there and who will see me and what opportunities are there. I would imagine there's really is no such thing as a small job.
Yeah. I think taking those opportunities helps you figure out what you want and what you don't want. And as you're working more and more and you're figuring those things out, as you get to a certain level, you can start saying, okay, this doesn't work for me, or I don't necessarily like doing this, but I like this. So you start figuring it out. But I think if you want to be in the entertainment business, you have to be in the entertainment business and start working and learning and just figuring it out to get you to the next steps.
Yeah, I think that's important. My niece is going to get tired of hearing me because I keep using these episodes as a platform to teach her. And I get it.
Yep, but, that's okay.
Yeah,
she'll thank you one day. She'll thank you.
She will. She better remember me because Uncle Tim needs some help, you know, down the road. So, but yeah, she's a junior in college. She wants to be in the sports entertainment industry. She, you know, she's thinking more of, you know, the agency, being an agent out there. But, you know, it's still early days. And I keep driving home the fact that that's fantastic. Set a goal, set a path that you want to go on. But get in there. Just get in there, you know, get with a network, a regional network, a local station, whatever gig, internship, whatever it is, get in there, get yourself known and get a flavor for everything that's out there. And you never know what's going to stick.
Absolutely. Because that's where she'll start networking and meeting different people and learning. And she might come across somebody who says, you know what, I really want to help you. What is it you want to do? Okay, I can connect you here or there, whether it's directly or indirectly. And that's what it's all about, just getting yourself in those moments to be in front of those people at the right time. Timing is everything. And nothing is going to go from A to Z. You're not going to all of a sudden say, I want to be an actor, and you're going to be this huge star. I think people have that sort of want that to happen or have that perception, but that's not how it works. You have to do the work, and it's a lot of hard work to get you to that level. You can't just go from A to Z. You have to do the work in between.
That's it. You know, what was the old saying? It took me 20 years to be an overnight sensation.
Exactly. That's the way so it true. Is.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and talk to Patricia Kerr a little bit more about her book, Dream On, Now Deliver. And we'll talk to her a little bit about the writing and the messages she's trying to get across in the book. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I continue our conversation with Patricia Shakira in her book, Dream On, Now Deliver, The No-Nonsense Guide to Achieving Success in the Entertainment Industry. Patricia, we've been talking about the ins and outs of the industry, how to know jobs are too small, networking, these type of things. Whenever I kept hounding you to do the book and you finally decided it was time and you took all the notes, how did you go about deciding, okay, what really needs to go in here? How do I make it concise? How do I make it interesting? You do a fantastic job in here in the fact that they're to the point, direct, helpful chapters without putting it in your face, but here's some things you could take under your belt. And then at the end, you put down the terminology, some of the things you're going to run into, you know, because originally Mark was in the music industry. I did some early on stuff and realized I wasn't as talented as I should be. But I didn't know what a director was compared to a producer compared to, you know, when do I need an agent compared to when do I need a manager? When do I need a publicist? All these type of things. And so you do a great job with it in the book. How did you go about putting all these notes and all these things that you've had from all your experiences down into these very succinct chapters?
It took a long time. We're talking over years where I knew from somebody had planted the seed in 2000, like 25 years ago. But by 2008, I actually came up with the title of the book. It's the acronym of Deal or No Deal. And I was on set and I'm like, How can I incorporate the book and the title and, you know, I thought my book was going to be out a lot quicker, but I realized writing is so hard, especially if you are not a writer. And it took a lot for me to find the discipline to really hone in on it. Like I really had to structure that time in. But I jotted notes over time and I kept thinking about that 15-year-old girl and what was it like, really going back to basics and then following my career in my head along the way. And what is it I learned? What is it that the questions I had? And so I kept writing notes and it was all over the place. But eventually I started figuring out the outline and really matching up, like this chapter should be this. And it didn't stay that way the whole time. I had to rework it. I had to rewrite things. So it was a continuous thing up until the last few years. Literally the end of 2022, I finished writing the book, but realized you're not really done. There's still more work to do. So there was more tweaking, more drafts, more. And I was caring for my mom at the time. And I think that is what really gave me strength to move forward even more while I was with her and sitting with her. I started thinking about just everything, life in general, time with her. And it really was the thing I needed to get me to go, enough. It's time. It's time to get this book out there. And then that's where I ended up finding somebody to help me structure it because I'm not that good. Like I had my outline, I had my chapters, but then how do you structure it? So you find people, if you don't know how to do it, you find people to help you, to teach you, to learn those things. And so now I'm ready for my second book and third.
I love it.
I'm already thinking about it.
Ooh, all right. Well, put me down for those dates. We'll have you back on the show for sure. We'll definitely do that. And I love the fact that, you know, you reached out to someone for help in a field, in an area that you weren't totally sure of and have never experienced before, just like you're doing in the book. Now they can reach out, they can read your knowledge, what you've gone through and how. And one of the things I was thinking was, I imagine in the grand scheme of things, things haven't changed that much in 30 years. Now, what I mean by that, I don't mean that in a humorous way, because we know, yellow pages to the internet, to AI, to whatever. But no, but how you go about doing it is sort of the basics, getting down to the bare basics of getting started. Where do you go? Who do you see? All that framework, I would imagine, is pretty much the same.
So I love that you said that, because I'm actually going back as I wrote this and finished it. I moved in the middle of this and I'm in a different state. So all of a sudden I find myself going back to basics and going, okay, I don't know anybody here. I don't know the agencies. I don't know the casting directors. I don't know anybody. So I'm starting from scratch. Yeah, I have more experience under my belt, which helps, absolutely. But I find myself going through the steps in my book because I have to figure it out and network and do new photo shoots, do different auditions, the self-tapes too, find the agents. So I find myself, which I'm excited about now, because I'm like, okay, it's starting new, it's starting fresh, but all those things apply right now. So it's a pretty cool experience, actually. So it's the unknown, and I can't wait to see how it goes, where it goes. And there's going to be a lot of rejection in between, but I'm ready for it. I'm like, okay, there's going to be a no, but there's going to be a yes eventually.
That's it.
Hopefully.
Oh man, I'm going back to my sales days. So for every 10 calls, you get 4 appointments, and every 4 appoints, you close one deal. So
true. So
if you're really good, you close 2 deals. So it works out well. So I think that's the same as well.
I love that you understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yet all this, you're just getting closer to the yes. That's the key. Mm-hmm. Be persistent, but not pesty. That's what I try to tell my wife. I don't know. Well, you talked about one thing that popped up again is early on, you talked about moving, going from Chicago to going to New York, going to LA, these type of things. How important is that nowadays to go to the heart of where we think entertainment is, the entertainment industry is, or is it more vast? Because I know I'm in Atlanta area. Atlanta's a hotbed, you know, I've appeared as a parent in a few movies. That's when you know you're getting old, when you're the parent or the grandparent.
That. Yeah, no, I know. I'm there.
So these things. But you've got Atlanta that's coming up. They do a lot of stuff in Vancouver, of course, LA, New York, you know, it's all over the place. How important is it to get to what we call the heart or the mecca of what we think the industry is, compared to being flexible enough that maybe you're doing some stuff on a more regional basis or based somewhere you really want to live, compared to, and then going to wherever you need to do the jobs?
I think it's great to start where you're at, but things have changed so much at this point. Now everybody's doing the self-tapes. It's easier for you to do a self-tape, submit it, and if you get the job, you can fly it to wherever they're doing the shoot for the film, the TV show, the modeling job. So now I think people are in a better place of having access to a lot more. And again, you could live in those, you know, main hubs, but there are smaller markets that you can just travel to those bigger markets. It's so much easier now. So many more opportunities. I was in LA, booked a job that was in Florida the week I was moving. And I was like, oh, how random that I have to go shoot where I'm moving to. So it's just interesting how it works. It's changed. And luckily now we can create our own studios within our homes, right?
That's it for sure. Talked about agents and managers and these type of things. At what point do you start looking for that? Or what point do you start fending them off at the door? Because everybody wants to be your manager or agent when you're hot. At what point, if you're new to all this, do you need to be considering that compared to how much you can do on your own?
For me personally, I always went the agent route in the beginning. Like for me, having an agent, and I started asking the questions along the way, like, when do I get a manager? And it's different. I have friends who got a manager first before an agent, and they looked for a manager to help them find an agent. I think in LA, more people have managers and agents, but I think it's a personal thing. You have to really look at where you're at, because in between the last 35 years, did I have a manager? At some point I did. For a few years I did, and realized, why do I have a manager? I think I can do this on my own. And I have somebody who does my contracts. I have agents as well. And I have agents for each thing that I do. One for commercials, one for acting, one for For each category, there's an agent. So for me, it felt like I don't want a manager, don't need one at this point in time. That may change. I mean, as you go, you have to figure that out. But I think if you find yourself a good agent and have a good relationship with your agent where you're communicating and you're on the same page, that they're working for you and you're communicating what your needs and wants or what you're trying to figure out your career and you have those conversations, then you could go without a manager to us, you know, as long as you want. It's up to you and to gauge where your career is at that point.
Right. Good advice. Good advice. Because I know you from the agent front, when we're talking about literary, I've had literary agents, and what I have found, some are very, very in tune. You're very tight knit. You've got a goal. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. Here's what we're going to pitch, so on and so forth. And others are more like, well, give me the stuff and I'll go out and see if I can sell it for you. And then don't call me. I had an agent after a while. Both. It's like, yeah. And that's so frustrating. It's like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be working for me and you're not, because unless you sell something on my behalf, you're not really that interested. And so I imagine it's hard to find. I would imagine early on, you're excited about having an agent. It's like,
Absolutely.
You know, somebody paid me in advance to write my book. And then after a while, you're like, why am I paying this person 15%? What's going on here? Whatever it may be. So how do you decipher through what that fit is? If you feel that you need an agent and or they're knocking on your door, how do you sort of determine? Is it an instinct, a gut feeling? Do you pick their brain about how knowledgeable they are? How do you go about sort of positioning yourself?
All the above is you have to gauge it and look at it. And sometimes I've had agents where they were so good and they were so great and we worked for years together. And then all of a sudden it started shifting and it wasn't quite the same. And I had the conversation with the agent and I talk about one of these experiences in the book. And they were like, you don't have a niche. You don't have, you know, this or that. You're older now. It gave me all the excuses. And I was like, okay, at that point, I wasn't done yet. I'm like, I'm not, you know, hanging it up. I'm still in this and I'm ready to keep going. What is he talking about? So I made the decision after all these years to part ways with him and wished him well. And he did go on and he did really well. I went with another agent within that week, found another agent that ended up booking me on 3 different hosting jobs. And here's this other agent telling me, you know, you're pretty much washed up. And then you find this other agent. So sometimes I think people get comfortable. And when you start feeling those things where you're like, oh, it's not moving, it's not going, definitely gauge it. Because sometimes we're also obviously wanting more always immediately. But I think you just need to gauge it, trust your instincts. And if you feel like you've done everything where you're trying to have these conversations with your agent and it's still not shifting, you know, you get that gut feeling and you have to start looking elsewhere. And it's okay to feel that. That's going to happen a lot. It's a roller coaster ride and you're going to have your highs, your lows, your ups, your downs. It's just a matter of, do you want to keep going? Great. Okay. We'll figure out how to keep going. At the end of the day, you're your own manager, your own agent. So as much as if you have a team around you, you still are the one in charge of your career. So you need to figure out what's right for you. And go from there.
Great, great advice. Yay, love it. Aww. So last tidbit I'll give you here is, obviously a huge fan of yours, huge fan of the book. I love everything about it. Dream on, now deliver. So it's a great, great insight. What was your goal at the end of the day? Did you have a goal or a takeaway? So when everybody picks up a copy of the book and they read through it and love it and they earmark it and they mark it up and they buy a second copy so they can put it on the shelf and the third copy so they can have it. So when they see you in person, you can sign it. Was there a goal or thing you're hoping that people walk away from after reading the book?
The goal is for them to succeed. I love getting feedback from people on the people. I mean, first I had it, you know, my friends and family. I'm like, okay, read it. What do you think? Like, oh my God, you know, do I hit the mark for people? Like, are they going to understand what I'm talking about? Which that's why the glossary is so important, because if you're new into this, you don't know what's what. And that's why when you're on set, you have to pay attention and really ask all the questions. If you don't know something, ask those questions, find out, learn, figure it out. But the goal is for people to get that help. Because once I started having people reach out to me and tell me where they're at with, I love hearing those stories. It makes me happy to know that they're getting that inspiration to take the next steps, because it is scary. It is scary, the unknown. And there are people that have told me, oh, I'm in it, but I'm not sure, you know, whether I continue to pursue this. So again, I love knowing that they're trying and they're figuring it out and that they're just excited to get to the next steps and hopefully flourish and, you know, reach new heights. That excites me to no end.
Well, that is fantastic. And the book will definitely do that. So where can people find out about you, Vince, things going on? How's the best way to follow you?
On my website, patriciacara.com, and that's K-A-R-A. And I'm also on social media. Everything is under Patricia Cara. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, which is X now, but all the above. YouTube.
Definitely. Well, everybody, we'll post all those and make sure everybody knows to follow you on all those wonderful sites. Everybody pick up a copy of the book. The thing I love about the book, among many, 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 many things, is not only is it, I think, applicable for the entertainment industry, it's applicable for life. You know, yes, the terminologies are different and things, but you've got to have a support system. You got to network. You got to meet people. You've got to be your own cheerleader, but you got to also have cheerleaders around you. So it's a great book for that as well. So, you know, I want everybody to pick up a copy of the book. It's Dream On, Now Deliver, The No-Nonsense Guide to Achieving Success in the Entertainment Industry by Patricia Cara. Patricia, thank you so, so much for coming on the show.
I can't wait
for the second or third book, and we'll have to have extended interviews because we both love to talk. And I love that too.
I love it. And I love what you said about the book, that you can apply this to other things in your life, whether it's personal or professional. I had that in mind. And so I love that you just said that. That's the biggest compliment for me. And so I really appreciate you saying that. I appreciate your time and giving a shout out to the book and having this conversation with you. I feel like I know you. We can go on and on.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Well, well deserved. Great job on it.
Thank you. I look forward
to chatting with you again somewhere down the road, meeting up in person somewhere down the road.
Absolutely.
But definitely, everybody pick up a copy of Dream On, Now Deliver by Patricia Cara.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, or want to hear from the people you want to hear from most, drop us a line at PetLifeRadio.com. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia of fun, fun, fun. So, you know, next time you write a story about the animals in your life or just write a story, just drop me a line. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.